The reading this morning is from Romans 1:18-25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God has been made plain to them, because God has made plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity. For the degrading of their bodies with one another, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Wow.
I don't know about you, but that's a frightening bit of scripture, quite powerful. But when you look at what's happening in the world today, it's so relevant. I've entitled this morning's message, "Whose way is best, God's or man's?" Or if you want to put it in Norway, "Who knows best, God or man's?" I don't think I need to tell you the answer to that one. From the scriptures this morning, it seems pretty clear that as we are God's creation, it's a fact that we can't get away with. You know, and when you look at the diversity, the full diversity of what he has created in this world that we live in, it is mind-blowing. I've been asked a question this morning which I couldn't answer, so I'm going to ask you, and if you can come up with an answer, you can give me it at the end. I was asked, why did God create wasps? What's the purpose? And I was stumped. But I know that the Lord will tell us what that purpose is when I go home to meet him. That's one of the first questions I'm going to ask him. Now, we are often told that some astrologers or other has discovered a new planet, which they believe is capable of sustaining life. But as the old Star Wars thing goes, but not as we know it. You know, the media get all excited about it. Well, I don't know, since man walked on the moon in the 60s, these sort of stories have been coming up from time, and it's still going on. They're looking to go on to Mars and reaching for the stars, you know. But, you know, they need to be reminded that it was God who created the stars and the planets. And he put them all up in the heavens, and he knows exactly where they are. And they've been there from the time that he created them. You know, we humans, we can be very arrogant, can't we? There are times when we believe we just need to think about something and put our minds to it, and we can do anything that we please. Well, when you just go to do your shopping, you look at all the produce you've got, we can see that through man manipulating nature to meet the demands, they have introduced various additives into the food to keep it from spoiling so it lasts longer. Both fruit and vegetables can be grown now, irrespective of what the season is, so that we can have tomatoes and grapes whenever we want them. When I was a kid, you only got grapes at Christmas. They used to come in a barrel, cork barrel, because that's how they were transport so they didn't get bruised. You went to the grocer and hung one in the old cork barrel, like, came a bunch of grapes, weighed them, you paid for them, and that was it. But now grapes are on every shelf. And it's one thing that's never seemed to run out of. They run out of the cheap ones, but the dear ones are always there. You know, but everything that man does has a price. And I would challenge the nutritional value and, dare I say it, the flavour of some of the foods treated in the way they are to preserve them. I don't know about you, but I can tell the difference between homegrown vegetables, freshly picked from ones bought in a supermarket. The ones bought in the supermarket have maybe been in cold storage for some time to preserve them before they come on. And sometimes you buy them. We bought some peaches last week, and you can actually feel the ice still in them when we got them home. But they thawed out, and they were lovely and juicy. You know, but it's just one of those things. Man thinks that he's got the power. There are even people going as far as thinking and even doing, changing their gender, which suggests that they know better than God. They are questioning God, and it seems that we as part of society are expected to just accept this as part of diversity, as it's called today. And the diversity which is called today that believes that everyone has the right to choose who or what they want to be. It's their human right. You know, it's their human right. And the sad fact is that some of our churches are even accepting that concept without consideration to what God's word has to say about it. What's God's right? In Isaiah 29, verse 16, we can read, "You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'You did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'You know nothing'?" You know, that says to me that if we don't believe that God is in control, that God is the creator of all, that God knows best, then we're sadly lacking and we're going in the wrong direction. The sad fact is today society wants what they desire. You know, and they don't just want it in the future, they want it now. We read, our, shall I rephrase that? Heidi read for us this morning, our opening reading from Matthew 25, 14 to 28, the parable of the bags of gold, which can also be looked at as our talents, God-given talents. It paints a picture of how a servant should act, and if we have accepted Jesus as our own personal saviour, isn't that what we are, servants of the living God? And as servants of the living God, we have got responsibilities. In the parable, each of these servants were given different amounts of gold or talents, whichever way you want to look at it, in keeping with their position and their responsibilities. Each was expected to use them productively. And you know, the same is true from all those who claim to know the Lord Jesus as their own personal saviour. We have got the responsibility to use the talents that he gave each one of us to enable us to carry out the plan that he has for our lives. And God has given us gifts and talents to cope with all of the things which may get in our way. We do not all get the same job lot, as it were, because honestly, if we did, we wouldn't be able to cope with them. Example, if you were learning to swim, surely it would make sense to start in the shallow end, first, to develop and master your stroke before you would venture into deeper water. It's important that we know the talents that God has given us and to use them for his glory. That's what they're given to us for to glorify him, not to glorify us, not to make me the best preacher stand up here and being adored by everybody that listens, which will never happen anyway. But, you know, it's not about that. It's about glorifying the Lord. We learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to 31. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having the gift of healing, those able to help others, those having the gifts of administration, and those speaking in tongues. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But, and this is the one verse that I want you to remember, but eagerly desire the greatest gift, or the greater gift, love. Because what does God's word say? You've got to love one another. And without love, you've got nothing. It is not the number of gifts that each of us have that's important, but it is important that we recognize those that we have and that we use them properly for the purpose they were given, to glorify his holy name. As individuals with different personalities and abilities, God has provided us with those gifts, and those gifts will guide us through, and it gives us the power to do whatever he's asking us to do. And we've got to remember that all the things that we do and he asks us to do, he will give us the strength to accomplish. If you don't recognize your gifts or your talents, I would suggest that you ask him to show you what they are. Remembering his promise, ask and it will be given unto you. Our God is the great provider, you know, and he'll meet all of your needs and even some of your wants. You know, he will never ask you to do anything that without his help you cannot accomplish. So don't be afraid when you hear his voice asking you to do something. Step out and step up in faith and you will be richly blessed. I don't pretend it will be easy, but if you walk in God's will and rely on his strength, it will be rewarded, because scripture tells us that God is no man's debtor. You know, he doesn't ask you to do anything. If we listen to his voice and do his will in his strength, then we can be sure that all the glory will belong to the Lord, and we won't boast or become big-headed about our part in it. Because as we sung today, not I, but through Christ in me. We need to understand Jesus' teaching in this parable of the gold bars or talents, that it's not a matter of the number we have received, but how we use them. Jesus is the master. In the parable, made a judgment on the performance of his servants. You know, we will be measured by Jesus, just how we used the talents that he gave us and how productive we have been in their use. Now, that certainly concentrated my mind when I read that parable. It stops me from becoming complacent. It reminds me that I need to rely more on God's strength and his direction to guide my steps if I have any hope of staying on the right path. Makes no difference how old or how young you are in the faith. He loves you and he accepts you for who you are. That's why one of them was given a small amount of talents. He was very little expected of him. But because there was little expected of him, maybe he had little expectations and he buried them. Don't bury what the Lord has given you. If he's given you, you recognize it, you've asked him for it and he's told you what it is, use it. Dust it off. Use it. Yeah? And you've read through the talents that were given, right the way through all the gifts that were given. There is a gift there for everyone, whether it's just encouraging one another. You know, administration, whether it be agreeing to do the T-board notice or something like that there. There's always things that we can do. The important thing is to remember that God has got a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Now, Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31, which we read earlier, in which, and I love the way Paul uses the picture of the body to emphasize the need of unity within the church. He makes it very clear that no matter the number of gifts we have as individuals, it's important that we work together. And that's the important thing. We've got to work together. We've got to do our own small part. By doing so, it will lighten the burden on others, enabling the body to move freely and to follow God's plan. You know, can you imagine if you got up to walk, you want to take a step, and your right foot suddenly just says, I'm not going anywhere. You try to go with your left foot and it says, I'm not going anywhere. Then you fall down on your knees and you try to use your hands and your knees and they turn around and say, I'm not going anywhere. Where are you going to get? Nowhere. You're going to be stuck. And that's where you can get so easily in your faith. You can become stuck if you don't just listen and have the courage to step up and step out for the Lord. Everything will fall into place then whenever you do so. There is no job within God's church that is more important than any other. And each part of the body relies upon the others to complete the unity of the fellowship. Each of us rely on the support and encouragement of our brothers and sisters. Because without encouragement, what happens? We become disheartened. And we allow Satan to step in and cause us to doubt our standing with him. We learn from each other as we grow and mature in the faith. I have no doubt that, like me, you're looking forward and hoping to hear those beautiful words that Jesus said in that parable. Only we want to hear it from his lips to each one of us on that day of judgment. Well done, good and faithful servants. As I close, I want to leave you with a couple of encouraging verses from Proverbs. And there's a lot in Proverbs, a lot of jewels in Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Good advice. That's the advice that we all need to commit to and to tattoo on the back of our hand, as it were. And in times whenever we're feeling doubtful, trust in the Lord. That lovely old hymn, trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you as the great I am, the designer and creator of all. We thank you for your gift of love your Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom and only through his grace can we approach your throne of grace and prayer. Lord, we thank you for the ability you give each of us and for the talents that you supply. Give us the power and the will and the determination to use them to glorify your holy name. Today, Lord, I ask for a fresh infilling upon us by your Holy Spirit to strengthen us, strengthen our will and our determination to keep up the good fight in the certain knowledge that although the warfare against the evil one goes on, you've already won that battle. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and we ask that you bless us this morning and keep us safe as we go out into this wide world full of wickedness and sin. Lord, protect us. Give us the right words to say at the right time, as your word tells us. Be with us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.